Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome as we all join together in God's praise as we celebrate Worldwide Communion today. Just a great celebration to remember that we are all children of the same God and we are blessed to be together. A few announcements before we get started. Trustees will meet on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Please don't forget today is also the spaghetti lunch being held for Ryder Argento at Dover Memorial Hall from 11:30 to 1:30. Those of you, I think I've shared this story quite a bit, but Ryder is about a two-month-old infant who has needed about three or four cardiac surgeries at Cleveland Clinic. He's doing well, but obviously there's a lot of medical expenses for the family. Ryder's grandparents are Matt Stevens and Julie. And they have been very involved with the Dover congregation for quite a while. Very involved with Tar Hollow. His parents are members of Dover. And so any chance we get an opportunity to support them through their time of need is a great opportunity. So if you're looking for a place to grab lunch today, 11:30 from 1:30 at Dover Memorial Hall is a great place to do that. Camp Zimmerman, next Sunday, they will be having their chicken barbecue from noon to 2:30. If you want any tickets, see Tim Northrup in the back. He's very happy to accommodate you. One of the things he mentioned to me, one of the opportunities we'll take advantage of, if you can't get out to Camp Zimmerman next week, but you still want a chicken barbecue, Tim is happy to bring the chicken barbecue to you, and we can find a way to do that. So please let him know, and we're happy to support any of our camping ministry. Our next men's fellowship breakfast will be at Winfield United Methodist Church on October 20th. Those interested in carpooling can meet at 8:15 at Dover First. Our next card party is on Monday, October 22nd. Look for sign-up sheets for that. And our Halloween party will be on Saturday, October 27th from 7 to 9. Just a lot of fun. There'll be music, games, snacks, costumes, and just a great time for all our kids to enjoy each other in a safe environment. Before I turn it over to congregational announcements, I want to introduce a few guests that we have from our women's retreat. If you wouldn't mind standing, I'm going to put you on the spotlight. This is Linda Robach. Linda is a member of Ebenezer Moravian in Watertown, Wisconsin, which is about 10 miles from where I grew up. I'm a Watertown Gosling myself, so I'm happy to represent. Her son, Justin, is the president of our Board of World Mission. This is Marty Harum from DeForest. She's been very active and involved in that congregation. DeForest is a little congregation right outside of Madison. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. It's great to have you here, and just wonderful to see how many visitors we had for this conference. Bishop K. Ward led it. It was at Janaid and Hutton this past weekend. They did a phenomenal job. I've heard great feedback already. And anytime we can get a large group of Moravians together, it really is a wonderful treat. So if you get a chance, please say hello to them and thank them for coming all the way to Ohio for this retreat, because it's an 8 or 9 hour drive. So we appreciate it. And all the many people who give up their weekends to serve our church. At this time, I invite any other people if they have any other announcements. All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Letitia.
Good
morning. Morning, Andy. Morning, Linda. Morning, Kaylee. So does this feel like work for you now? Shaking hands, does this feel like work for you now? Morning, Uriah. Morning, Tammy. Good morning. It's good to have you with us. Good morning, Marty. Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Loretta. How are we doing? At this time, I ask you to remain standing as we will join together in our watchword for the week this week. And our watchword comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of our congregation, I will praise you. You may be seated.
Please rise and join with the call of worship. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them?
Yet you have crowned us with glory and honor. You have put all things under our care. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You may be seated.
So one of the things we were looking for as a way to enhance our worship service today was looking for ways that we could invite the celebration of worldwide communion into our service today. And one thing that popped up on Facebook that was really touching for me was this video that came out, As the Deer Panteth for the Water. And it's actually sung by people in 8 different languages. And in this video, you will see that God can be praised in all names and all languages. And celebration, and there's no better time than worldwide communion to celebrate that we are all children of the same God. I want to thank Denny and Paula for indulging me and working this video into worship. I know it always isn't the easiest way, but it's certainly appreciated. So enjoy this video. On the last part, they will get to the English in the last minute of the video, so if you want to sing along with that, feel free. It's a hymn that is near and dear to us. Praised in all languages, and especially today as we celebrate worldwide communion. that people all across our globe are celebrating today. And what a gift that we have to be Christians all across the world. And as we turn our hearts to our offering today, it's important to remember that we care for one another all throughout this world. And this global movement continues to enlighten us, empower us, and strengthen us with faith and grace in all we say and all we do. Pray together the prayer of dedication. Gracious and loving God, help us to remember that you have the whole world in your hands. There is no one on this earth who is not under your tender, loving care. May your caring compassion be reflected in our action towards others. Amen. You may be seated. As we turn our hearts and our minds to prayer, we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be prayerful about at this time. We think especially about the Martin family. Ron Martin's aunt, Eleanor, passed away this past Tuesday, so we continue to pray for resurrection hope and sympathy with their family. And they also lost a friend, Brenda Sue Rings, who was a friend of the family, passed away last week, so we continue to uplift them in prayer. They've obviously had a lot of turmoil, especially with Ron's mother having her leg amputated a few weeks ago. And we just continue to uplift them and remind them that we are together. Emily and I want to continue to thank you all for your thoughts and prayers, and especially your food this week. That has been a real treat. I'm getting spoiled this week, so I'm going to have to go back to my regular cooking next week, and that's going to be a challenge, so I may need some prayer concerns there as I switch back to macaroni and cheese and SpaghettiOs next week, but it has been a real treat, and we really do appreciate how many people helped take care of us in our time of need. I do want to rejoice because my parents, Bob and Wendy Lippert, were able to renew their vows yesterday, actually in Watertown, Wisconsin, as they celebrated their 40th anniversary. And God help my mother, she still sticks with my father, so I'm hoping to be there for the 50th. I love them both very dearly, and our hearts were definitely with them yesterday. We continue to pray for the people of Indonesia. I don't know if you paid attention to the effects of the earthquake and the typhoon that they've had there. Over 1,000 have perished. It's been a real troubling circumstances getting first responders in there. So we continue to pray for their people and that they are able to help as many people as they can. Also for our country, we continue to pray that we continue to work on the divides that exist between us. Especially we think whenever there's a Supreme Court nomination, it seems to bring out the worst in a lot of different political parties on both sides of the aisles. And we continue to pray that our compassion always is stronger than our politics in this country, and that we continue to be people that take care of one another regardless of our political affiliations, our religious affiliations, or social affiliations, because that is one of the things we really stress, especially on Worldwide Communion, that we really are children of the same God. So let us take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, today we remember the hymn lyrics that you have got the whole world in your hands. And we are grateful for that, because your presence can be felt right here in Ohio. It can be felt across the United States and through the globe. May all the world know that they are loved by you, Jesus, that they can follow your footsteps of compassion and mercy and grace every chance they have. And gracious God, we think of our hurting world. We think of those who are in pain, those who are suffering, those who are grieving. We think most especially of the people of Indonesia. And we think of Brenda Sue Rings and Ron Martin's Aunt Eleanor. And there are so many people that have been welcomed into your heavenly home. Help us to remember that these people are no longer in pain, that they know what the smile of God looks like, and that we can rejoice and celebrate with them. And gracious God, we pray for many in our midst and not in our midst who are suffering, who have cancer treatments, have test results coming, important doctor appointments, and help them to see that even if the circumstances are difficult, you, God, are there, and you, God, will not abandon us. We pray for those who could not be in worship with us today. May they feel your spiritual presence in their hearts, for we know that wherever God is, worship will take place. And most importantly, we give you thanks for the many blessings, for the wonderful heat that you have given us this fall. You've kept us warm, and we thank you for the seasons changing, reminding that you, God, are a present God, an active God, not a God that was, but a God that is. And we are so thankful for your omniscient presence in all we say and all we do and all we pray. In your loving name, amen.
The first scripture today comes from Genesis 2, 18 through 24. It can be found in your Pew Bible on page 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God has formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For the reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And then Jesus replied, "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law." Jesus replied, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and a mother, be united with his wife, and two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for theirs is the kingdom of God, and it belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's chat. Come on up. So good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Excited? The sun's still shining and it's still warm this fall? Yeah, me too. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, Riley.
I can't wait for Halloween.
You can't wait for Halloween. Me either. It's going to be a fun time. So the question I got to ask you, what are we celebrating today? What have you heard me talk about in church? What's a special day today? Talking about the... What'd you say, Nick?
Earth,
talking about the whole world, because today is Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we celebrate that on this day, Christians everywhere in the world take communion at some point throughout the day. And it's a beautiful celebration. So I thought it would be fun to teach you how Christians in different places say hello to one another, because they do it very uniquely and very different. So what are some ways that we say hi in the United States? You do the hi. What else do you do? Who does the hug? Do you give some people some hugs? Hello? No? Do you do the handshake? "Nice to see you, Araya. Have a good day." Yep. Do we do handshakes? One thing, I want to show you how they do it in different countries. So in the Philippines, this is how they do it. I want you, Tyler, take your hands like this. Come here. Take your hands like that, and then you bow. So I put my forehead on your hand. So you keep your hands, you keep them still. And that's how they say hello in the Philippines. Would you guys like to try that? Take a partner. So everybody, stand up. All right, here. Now you can bow. I'll bow to you. And now you can bow to me. There you go. Nick, did you get a chance too? So bow. And I'll bow to you. That's all right. So in Japan, does anybody want to guess what they do in Japan? They do a similar form of bowing, but they bow like this with their whole bodies. So if you bow in Japan, you bow like this. So everybody, stand up, bow with me. So something they do special in Japan is the farther you bow is the more respect you have for somebody. So if it's your brother and sister, maybe you bow this much. If it's Aaron Rodgers, maybe this much. And if it's your mother, you just bow all the way on the ground. You hit your mother's. If it's God, you get way down, yeah. All right, so in Oman, which is in the Middle East, they do something that are called nose kisses, Eskimo kisses. If you want to try that, you can, but I don't want you to give each other concussions, okay? Yeah, it's just like if you ever heard what an Eskimo kiss is, that's what they do in Oman. There you go. You want to show everybody? Don't take your sister out, okay? There you go. So in Malaysia, we're going to do Malaysia. Nick, you want to come up here? So I want you to do like we did for the first one, the fingertips. And they take their fingertips and they take them on the outside and they pull into their heart to say that they are present with their whole heart with you. So I want you guys to do this. So Araya, take your hands, put your fingertips on the outside, and then as soon as you do that, you both take your hands to your heart. Tyler and Nick, you want to do it? So this will be an easy one. Now we're going to go to Thailand, which is in Asia. And they do prayer hands. So you guys have prayed before? Bow like that. Okay, and that's how they do it. So you can do that to everybody around you. And my last one is my favorite one. It's in Tibet. Does anybody want to guess what that one is? In Tibet, you stick out your tongue to say hi. So be like a monk in Tibet. Go, ah, ha. So can you stick out your tongue? There you go. And so the important thing to remember is that in all those places in the world where they say hello very differently, today they're taking communion and they're celebrating God. And that's a wonderful gift because we're all different, we're all unique, we all say hello differently, but each one of us is loved by God equally. So I want you all to remember that. Let's get in our circle and let's pray. And you guys get some Smarties for being so smart. Gracious God, we thank you for these kids. They are so special and so important and such an amazing part of our ministry here. We already know that they are great disciples, so help us to follow in their footsteps with kindness and mercy, and please protect them throughout their school week and their home life, and help them to see that no matter what, they are loved by God in all times and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab your Smartie. So I hope, adults, you got a chance to learn a little something there, too, and you got to see some maybe some different greetings across the world. Before we turn our attention to our message, let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to what you have to say to us, to inspire us and seek the path of Christ. In your wonderful name we praise. Amen. So this is a difficult passage for a pastor to preach on, because when the lectionary turns to Jesus' teaching about divorce, modern pastors kind of cringe. We're not really sure what we're supposed to say sometimes, because this is not a text that leaves us with a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. And I have to admit, I thought hard this week about focusing on a different passage of Scripture. Because I love giving you unsolicited relationship advice probably about as much as you love receiving it, people. But pastors really don't get a whole lot of joy out of that. But yet there is so much to be learned from this passage that we do ourselves a disservice to ignore it. And the first and foremost thing we should do when we look at this passage is remember this passage needs context and should be put into perspective. Because many Christian fundamentalists just take this passage right out of the Bible and use it to shame those who have ever been divorced. Ben Witherington III, a New Testament scholar, states, "A text without a context is just a pretext for what we want it to mean. A text without a context is just a pretext for what we want it to mean." And so what he's saying, in other words, you can find any passage out of the Bible. The Bible is a huge book, You can find any passage and you can take it out to make any point you want to make in Scripture. So it's important that what we read, we put it into context and we support it with what is around that Scripture. What else Jesus is teaching? And this passage from Mark, unfortunately, is one of the most abused pieces of Scripture because people love to take this out of context. So let's put this into context. When we look at the context, A, the Pharisees are testing Jesus. So he probably has very little patience in this passage for the ruse that they are playing. And B, there are no grounds given for the divorce in this scenario. This appears to be a scenario of convenience, aka what we would call in our time a Kardashian wedding. You know, the ones that last about 90 days, and you can pretty much tell from the beginning that it's not going to turn out as well as we hoped it to be. And C, Jesus is the only one in this passage to recognize the rights of women. In verse 12, he says a woman can divorce her husband. He gives women the same rights as men in this passage, which is unheard of in this time period. To the Pharisees, when they're talking about women in this passage, it's all about what a man can do. The woman is an object. She has no power. She's just a thing to possess. But Jesus is the one to say, no, if a man has this right, then a woman too should also have this right. And when you're talking about 2,000 years ago in Middle Eastern culture, this is very ahead of his time. And Jesus was somebody who cared for both men and women. Because when we look at this passage, Jesus is trying to teach us about the value of valuing our relationships. And he quotes Genesis, which Letitia read for us, that the two will become one flesh. And why he quotes Genesis is because he wants us to go back to the very beginning, where relationships first started. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what did God intend when he created Adam a partner? What were the intentions there? What was God's hopes? What were God's dreams? And this is a little side note, by the way, the word Adam in Hebrew comes from Adame, meaning earth. It simply meant human and not necessarily man. Adame means human, not necessarily man. And it didn't take long in this journey that Adam was having that God could see that he would never reach his full potential, his full being, without a partner, without an equal. Genesis 2:18 said, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" So God formed a partnership based on love and trust for Adam and Eve. It wasn't one where Adam was here and Eve was down here, but it was two people who were equal, which is why God made Eve out of the flesh of Adam. They are the same being. And the German philosopher Martin Buber used to talk about relationships as either being I-it relationship or I-thou. And an I-it relationship is where you treat somebody like an object, where you get something from them. And I'm sure all of you could probably have an I-it relationship that comes to your mind. You probably get a text message or a Facebook message throughout the week that says, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Carolyn?" And then what follows is the I-it relationship. "Could you do me this huge favor? Could you do that?" That person that always texts you or messages you when they need something from you. Not when they want to chat with you, but when they want something from you. And one of my friends tells me the greatest mistake that he made in his life was buying a pickup truck. Because he has every third, fourth cousin, every neighbor, every kid that graduated from high school has him on Facebook, just in case that one day they might need that pickup truck to move, to go someplace. And that's a perfect example of an I-it relationship, when somebody sees you just as an object. But an I-thou relationship is a real relationship, because it's more than just getting a desired result from somebody. But it nourishes your body, your mind, and your soul. And it makes every person in that relationship a better person, because they are in that relationship. That's what an I-thou relationship is. And the truth is, we don't get many I-thou relationships in our life. So we need to tend to them and take care of them. And the important thing to remember is that Buber and Jesus are not just talking about marriage. They're talking about friendship. They're talking about brothers. They're talking about sisters. Even strangers on the street can have an I-thou relationship if they tend to one another and care for one another. You think about that right time when a stranger asked you a question in your life or gave you a statement that you needed to hear. And that person you may never see again, but those 30 seconds could have been an I-thou relationship. And Emily and I talk a lot about the adversity that we faced this past 6 to 8 months with her father being hospitalized and passing away and the challenges that came with that. And how we really feel like we were out of the honeymoon phase a little bit before, but now we really feel out of the honeymoon phase before. But because the fact that we have an I-thou relationship, because we take care of one another, I feel like our marriage is strengthened because we went through the hard times and we did it together. And one of the best pieces of marriage advice I ever got was that couples that make it and couples that don't face the same amount of adversity in life. The difference is the couples that make it decide from the beginning that whatever adversity they face, they are going to face it together. Whatever adversity they face in their life, they're going to go through it together. And you can say that once again about any relationship you have. Whether you're raising a child, so many of you know what the meaning of unconditional love is because you've seen a circumstances where you need to step up and help them. It could be a parent, too, when a parent is going through a difficult time. But there are so many I-thou relationships that make us better and improve ourselves and our souls. So brothers and sisters, the questions I ask you, or the question, excuse me, is are you allowing others to help you with your struggles? Because that's a true benefit of I-thou relationships. Because if you're not willing to let anybody in and you're shouldering that load all by yourself, you're really doing yourself a disservice and you're treating yourself as an object in an I-it relationship because you're not allowing anybody to nourish you, to care for you. And the important thing also when looking at context of this situation is Jesus lived in a world where marriage was seen strictly as an I-it relationship. In other words, you got married because that woman over there had her dad had a lot of tracts of land, they had a lot of money, and that marriage would give you something in that society. Romantic love was about down here on the pedestal of biblical relationships. It's not really something that was part of their culture. And so I think that was something Jesus was pushing back against. This idea that love needed to be a business transaction, but that it could be a real relationship where people took care of one another. Because if you go back to Genesis 2, a helper is somebody that you can rely on, somebody that you care for, somebody that you nourish. And what Jesus was seeing out of marriage was not what God intended. Because the concept of love was absent from marriage. And Jesus was somebody who wanted to rectify that and say love is the basis of being married, a basis of being in relationship. So the question we have to ask ourselves as Christians is what do we do if we find ourselves in an I-it relationship with somebody close to us? What do we do? And it's important to note that there should be no shame if we need to leave a relationship that is toxic for our emotional and physical health. There's no shame in that. Because we as Christians should not treat people as objects, but we also should not allow ourselves to be used as objects. Because we have to protect our hearts and not let them become hardened. In those circumstances, we need to find Christ-like ways to disengage, or we run the risk of becoming the very thing we hate. And that's why forgiveness is so powerful. Because if we give in to the toxic atmosphere around us, we become the very thing, the venom that is attacking us, we become that venom towards that person. And we characterize that. So that is why forgiveness is crucial. Because relationships and friendships are a gift from God. Therefore, it is sinful to use our relationships with others solely for our own personal gain. Because the thing Jesus feared most in this passage was our hearts becoming hardened, to become so broken that we're unable to love. That's what Jesus ultimately feared for us. Because Jesus saw too many people who used their loved ones as a means to an end. He was seeing way too many I relationships. So how are you treating the people in your life? Are you treating them as precious people that you were put on this earth to cultivate? And another important question, what do you get out of those relationships that can't be measured or qualified when you're in an I-thou relationship? That's a good litmus test if you're in an I-thou relationship. If you can't put it into words, you just know something about that person. That's a great way to know that you are truly with somebody who loves you, respects you, and cares for you. And when we look at our relationships, our friendships, and even our conversation with strangers, any of those is an opportunity for a holy encounter, an I-thou encounter. And we must remember the words of Christ. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So when you look at the people in your life, make sure you're taking care of them. Make sure you're cultivating them. Make sure that they're better people because you're in your life. And that's the ultimate test of a disciple of Jesus, because they, you know that person is better because you shared Christ's love with them. And that's how we can truly tell that we have that love in our hearts and that our hearts have not been hardened and that we are capable of being so much more than treating people like objects, but as the holy objects, the holy people that God created them to be. And we can truly love them into an existence and allow them to see that they have been created in the image of God. And God stands before us and all the people around us. And we have the chance, the opportunity to show them that they are more than just something we get, that they are someone that we get the opportunity to love. Let us give thanks for that. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you bestow so many special people in our lives, that you present us with so many I-thou relationships, whether those are marriages, friendships, sibling relationship, parents relationships. We know that there are people who love us because there is a God who loves us. And help us to be grateful and to share with one another and to remember that the image of God exist in all the people around us, and it is up to us to be your living reminder that Jesus loves us and that we can carry that love into our world and be the light of our world. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to remain seated as we prepare our hearts for communion and sing together for the healing of the nations, hymn number 685. hearts and our minds to communion today. As we turn our hearts and our minds to communion today, let's give thanks. I did not have a communion liturgy that I could find for Worldwide Communion, so I messaged our Facebook clergy group, and I actually got this one from Eric Renner, who created this one. So it seems fitting that one of the sons of our congregation, we get to share in one of the communion liturgies that he wrote for Worldwide Communion, and it truly is a blessing to be able to share in that together. And I also want to remind you that before we partake together, that the Moravian Church has an open communion table, that all who welcome God's love in their heart is welcome at this table. And may you carry that love with you in all times and all places. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Peace with this. Peace. Peace, Mr. Nick. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that today we get to celebrate with your meal at your table, that all of us are invited. None of us are worthy, but all of us get to feel your love and your presence and your forgiveness. And we are so thankful for your redemption. Let us share together the words that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.